In 1965, Joe Coulomb faced a devastating realization while drinking at a Los Angeles bar. His 16-store Pronto Markets chain was doomed. 7-Eleven's parent company had just acquired a major milk producer, signaling their imminent expansion into his territory. In the convenience store business, real estate is everything, and Southland had the money to take the best locations, Coulomb recognized. Rather than compete in a losing battle, he retreated to Lake Arrowhead with his family to reimagine his entire business model. What emerged from this crisis was revolutionary. Coulomb identified two demographic trends that would reshape American retail. Education levels were skyrocketing. College attendance jumped from 2% to 60% between 1932 to 1964. And international travel was becoming accessible to the middle class. He decided to target well-educated but underpaid professionals, teachers, musicians, journalists, who had sophisticated tastes but limited budgets. The first Trader Joe's opened in 1967 on Pasadena's Arroyo Parkway, featuring marine decorations, Hawaiian music, and employees in tropical shirts with nautical titles. But perhaps Coulomb's most consequential decision wasn't about store aesthetics. It was his commitment to employee compensation. He established a policy where full-time staff would earn California's median family income. Good people pay by their extra productivity, he explained. You can't afford to have cheap employees. What began as a desperate pivot would grow into one of America's most beloved retailers, a store that would transform not just how we shop, but our relationship with food itself. Trader Joe's evolved through three distinct phases. The first, Good Time Charlie, emerged in 1967, emphasizing alcoholic beverages. Wine became their breakthrough category, with Trader Joe's pioneering support of small wineries that later became legendary names like Heights and Schramsberg. In 1970, Southern California's aerospace industry collapse eliminated 100,000 jobs. This crisis coincided with Coulomb's environmental awakening after reading Scientific American, leading him to join Planned Parenthood's board and reimagine his business. This transformation birthed Whole Earth Harry, the second version of Trader Joe's. Influenced by health-conscious store manager Bob Hansen, they embraced health foods with minimal processing and few chemicals. Their private label journey began with granola, expanding to raw milk, honey, bread-making ingredients, and vitamins. The unlikely combination of health food and wine worked because both customer groups shared a fundamental trait: thoughtful consumption habits that diverged from the mainstream. They further expanded into cheese, becoming America's largest brie retailer, selling it cheaper than Kraft's Velveeta. When California eliminated minimum retail prices on milk and alcohol in 1976, Trader Joe's milk profits plunged from 22% to 2%. Coulomb responded with 5-year Plan 77, transforming the company into retailers who would buy goods whole, cut them into pieces, and sell the pieces to ultimate consumers. This Mac the Knife strategy established core principles: prioritize edibles and Trader Joe's branded products, eliminate ordinary brands, focus on discontinuous supplies, stock individual items over product lines, display goods in shipping cartons, and ensure each product's independent profitability. By 1988, Trader Joe's achieved remarkable efficiency, carrying one SKU per 5 square feet compared to supermarkets' 1 per square foot. While mass retailers fought trench warfare with branded goods, Trader Joe's practiced intensive buying, focused on mobility and adaptability. Their vendor approach emphasized prompt interviews, knowledgeable buyers, minimal bureaucracy, and 24-hour decision-making. As Coulomb noted, buying is not just trying to beat down suppliers on price, it is a creative exercise of developing alternatives. Distribution became the cornerstone of Trader Joe's success. From relying on third-party delivery in 1977, they built their own centralized system by 1989, a remarkable achievement for a company with no logistics background. By 1988, their product mix shifted dramatically to promotional wines, 22%, specialty dry groceries, 12%, nuts and dried fruits, 12%, and frozen foods, 11%. Operating through 18 warehouses, they developed innovative solutions like shipping frozen items in styrofoam chests on regular trucks and switching to direct European cheese imports. Their 1981 bakery program coordinated small health food bakers to deliver to a central dock for distribution. Following Coulomb's motto, "Never buy a computer you can't lift," they chose Apple computers over mainframes, enabling employees to manage spreadsheets and correspondence independently. In 1996, President John Shields consolidated 18 warehouses into one, creating Leroy's Lighter-Than-Air Distribution System, a virtual network that owned no trucks, warehouses, or mainframes, yet delivered remarkable efficiency. Trader Joe's transformed from carrying no private label products in 1967 to primarily offering their own branded items under Coulomb's leadership. Each product required a unique differentiator appealing to educated consumers. They elevated everyday foods through sophisticated approaches, vintage dating produce, highlighting origins, emphasizing health consciousness, preservative-free items, organic certification, addressing concerns, solder-free cans, and featuring authentic gourmet qualities, unfiltered olive oil, handmade pasta. Coulomb created a silent conspiracy among the overeducated through intellectual product naming: Brandenburg Brownies, Bock, Sir Isaac Newton's, Fig Cookies, and Heisenberg's Uncertain Blend Coffee, Quantum Physics. Cultural authenticity came through naming conventions like Trader Jose's, Mexican, Trader Joe's, Japanese, and Trader Giotto's, Italian, while personal touches like using family names and 19th century art enhanced their distinctive identity. Unlike traditional retailers, Trader Joe's built its reputation through storytelling and community connections. The Fearless Flyer, launched in 1969 as a wine newsletter, became their marketing cornerstone with its product reviews and blind tastings. Coulomb modeled the flyer after Consumer Reports, using copyright-free 19th-century illustrations transformed into playful cartoons through iconotropy, deliberately misreading images to create new meaning. This established their distinctive brand personality. Writing for overeducated, underpaid people, they treated customers as intelligent adults, only phoneticizing difficult French words as their sole concession to accessibility. The company maintained consistent pricing without weekend specials or promotional gimmicks, rejecting typical supermarket pricing tactics as deceptive. From 1976 to 1988, Coulomb recorded 3,300 one-minute food and wine broadcasts for Los Angeles' classical music station, providing valuable exposure to their target demographic. Their charitable giving focused exclusively on product donations to nonprofits serving their core demographic: museums, galleries, hospital auxiliaries, alumni gatherings, and orchestras. In 1979, Coulomb sold Trader Joe's to Germany's Albrecht family, all the owners, leading until 1989. Though he'd planned employee ownership, regulatory changes forced a different path. The Albrechts maintained a hands-off approach, never merging with all the operations. Post-departure, Coulomb consulted for struggling retailers, applying his core principles: know your demographic, value employees, and focus on distinctiveness. Trader Joe's revolutionized food retail by prioritizing quality, value, and discovery. It proved that treating employees well was good business and showed how understanding a specific demographic could build loyalty without traditional marketing. Today's Trader Joe's, with 500-plus stores and $13 billion in annual sales, maintains Coulomb's vision through limited selection, private labels, no promotions, and a unique shopping experience. It remains a cult of the overeducated and underpaid, successful because it kept its promises.